Oh, it's going. Oh, got it. What a shot from Wilshere. Off the other side of the crossbar. Nice little chip. Oh, Mr. Oliveira with a cheeky goal.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chetagooner on the Twitter, and we have a full house to talk pain and suffering. Because you know, as we heard when you started listening to us today, everybody hurts and everybody is hurting a little bit right now. So I've got Shelly, Todd, and Shabby in the suitably adequate studios with me right now. Guys, I wanted to start off just by giving you an opportunity to say a little bit about kind of what you were feeling when we hit full time and we were walking out of the stadium in the cold rain after a 1-0 loss to the Michigan Stars. So I guess, Shabby, I'm going to start with you on my screen here. So you go first up with kind of what were your feelings as you left the stadium for the last time, unfortunately, in 2022?
I mean, there was some shock, a little bit of disbelief. Like I still couldn't believe it went out that way. A whole lot of anger, because that was what was transitioning out of my stomach from all of the anxiety for that entire match. I can't remember the last time I was that raw, just like on the edge of my seat, nervous for a game. And it was the only thing I could say coming out of it, like I was just kind of like this dazed. I'm just glad it didn't go to penalty kicks, because if it had gone to PKs, I think I would have just been hurling.
All right. So I have one vote for wanting to throw up. So Shelly, when you left the stadium, what were your feelings about kind of the last match of the year?
Very much numb, and not just because of the weather. felt numb, very confused. And it was like, you know when you have that cathartic moment where you're like, I felt like I was still just like not let down, but it was just kind of like Shabby was saying, is that I went into Sunday nervous, obviously very anxious, especially after finding out Saturday's results and who our potential opponent would be. I was like, oh, the world is right. The world wants to set it up so well for us. And then when the final whistle blew, anger for sure, and a lot of confusion. And one of those, just why? I mean, everything has a reason and a purpose, but I'm still trying to find what the reason of this moment was, because everything leading up to Sunday, just everything felt like it was aligning. It was clicking. And I was like, oh, finally, our boys are going to get it, because at the end of the day, I want it for them even more than myself. And just, yeah, so I definitely said at CBC, a little hoarse, very numb, trying to mentally calculate the number of F-bombs I yelled in 109 that whole night. Yeah. And I'm still have that air of melancholy hanging over me. It still just hasn't. It still feels very raw, and the emotions are still there, and just wondering what if, and not wanting to really even think about what the outcome of the weekend's match will be, because just don't want to think about it. It's sad. Yeah.
Todd, what about you?
I think I was disappointed more than anything. Of all the emotions, it was disappointment that just rang out to me, just because there was, the buildup. I was anxious about the game. As you guys know, this was the matchup I didn't particularly care for out of all the scenarios. And of course, seeing, some of the things that I'd worried about come to fruition, I'd complimented, how disciplined we'd been all year, and to kind of see those things play out and, go down a man, and, we can discuss that in a moment, but just disappointment all the way around. I felt the boys deserved better. Felt the fans deserved better. The front office felt like everybody deserved more than to go out in semis. We've more than established ourselves as a team that's better than that. So just disappointment.
Yeah, I think I guess disappointment would be, you know, it's just that feeling of the thing that you worried about happening, it happened, and I got to see it. I got to see it go over like 90 plus minutes, exactly how I was afraid that it would happen. Slightly differently tactically, and we can talk about that in a little bit, but generally tight in the first half, you know, a lot of pressure in the second half, and then just one set piece or one slip defensively, and it would cost us. And I, you know, I said the one thing I said, well, even though I said two things or three things when Todd asked me what my one key was, the one thing I said, and I said it over and over and over again, we have got to score first. We have got to put a ball in the back of the net. And we had a couple of little opportunities in the first half to take control of the match, and we just did not do it. And the longer that match went on, the more dread I felt. And it just felt like something was going to happen. And in the 50 something minute, that corner went in. And after that, I pretty much thought the match was over. And we could talk a little bit more about that as we go forward. I think we both, Todd alluded to it a little bit. We've all alluded to being mad and upset. And I think some of that, I think in order to talk about the game from kind of just a soccer standpoint and the things that the team did well, the things that the team struggled with, I think we got to get one thing just out of the way, like a palate cleanser, just to get it out of the way and to talk about just their overall refereeing decisions that were made. And I'll start with just my general frustration with how matches like this are refereed really across soccer. And Todd, you can correct me if you think I'm wrong here, but whenever you have a team that is known to be really physical and might be seen to be as somewhat inferior talent-wise, I think there is this human nature thing for a ref to even it out physically. And the only thing else I can use is a game I just watched today between Arsenal and FC Zurich in Europa League, where the ref just allowed Zurich to kick the crap out of Arsenal and just did not, because when a team is physical, the ref doesn't want to call all the fouls because it seems like that's all they would do. To be fair to the ref, he did give out a couple of yellow cards in the first half, but I never felt like he had a grasp on the cynicism and some of the rotational fouling that they did. And that's not this ref. That's a thing I see in all levels of soccer. When you've got one team that plays and one team that's physical, the team that's physical seems to always get away with a little more. And it's in this case, I think overall, that was my feeling, was that he just let them get away with some stuff that I think was unfortunate and that knocked us out of rhythm. You know, that's part of the game, I guess, but it was really frustrating.
I think it's more than that though. And here's, we've had spectacularly bad refereeing all season long. I think there's a lack of the best quality in our referee staff. I'm just going to go ahead and put that out there. For many reasons that I'm sure we could document that are fair and valid. But I do want to say, though, that this particular match, it's not that he let them get away with anything. It's that I feel like the refs across the line had no control of the match from the beginning.
Yeah.
They did not have control. And it wasn't that they let it get away. It was that they never had it, and then they couldn't bring it back. They weren't harsh enough from the beginning to say, hey, I know how you play. I know your style. We're not going to let that fly in my game. And instead, it just turned into a free-for-all because, to your point, the more aggressive you are and the more things you try, the more you're going to get away with. Just law of average.
100%. And I want to know, like, how in the world more yellows weren't called on the Stars? How does Richard still have ankles left?
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of times that he got kicked to the ground and nothing was called. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not a ref. And anyone in the stand could tell that something should have been called. And it just wasn't. Like, and I agree, 100% agree with Shabby. I think they just let shit keep rolling downhill and it just picked up momentum and they couldn't keep up with it, which is unfortunate because I think that had they started and made the precedent at the beginning, we could have very well had a different match we'd looked at. I really do feel that way.
I mean, I've got to ask, does someone do their homework as a ref? Did you look and say, hey, the last time these teams met, this was the kind of game? Or is it on our coaching staff? Did we not go and warn the head ref? Like, hey, you know, we know this is going to get ugly. They've got a history. Be on the lookout. Like, were none of these conversations had? Because it was not a surprise to any of us that
the team always played. Yeah, they always play dirty. Always play dirty.
We called out in the last podcast that it was gonna be an ugly game, and whoa, shocker, it was an ugly game.
Todd,
so I look at this and I agree with you guys, and what I think happened was I guess uplifted a little bit that he called some early yellows and called some early fouls, and I was like, okay, he's going to, you know, kind of stop it. But, you know, and he kept calling fouls. But I think what he was doing in essence is inviting Chattanooga to also be physical, right? He was okay, but that's not our game. So we were never going to do that. I think we would have been invited in to be just as physical as the Stars were being, right? But once again, that's like inviting the Stars to play possession. That's never going to happen. That's not their game. So while I think the ref was maybe prepared to call it evenly and let it be a physical match, that was never the match that we were going to be prepared to play.
And I'll go ahead and tell you, the refs, they know. I mean, that ref knew.
Of course they do.
Yeah,
of
that course ref they knew, know. That ref knew what the Stars' reputation was. I mean, he knew the whole, I mean, that they know. And it's not something that just happens that night. It's not something that just happens in NISA. It happens at every level of the game. When you've got teams, when you've got one team that's physical, they always seem to just get away with a little bit. And I'm glad you mentioned something about Dixon. I tweeted out that I didn't know how he walked off the pitch, and it didn't jump off. I mean, it was obvious that he was picking himself off the ground a lot when I was in the stands, but when I rewatched it, it's I really don't know how he got out of that match.
They left a foot in every single tackle. Every time they stabbed at the ball, they left a foot in. They left a shove in. They pushed in the back. They pushed in the back of the head. The kick that ended up leading to the red card was the most vile red card offense that I've seen. It was the ball had already left.
Yeah, you just cleaned him out from behind
of our player. Oh, yeah. Like 2 steps later, cleans him out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like he already left his feet and then caught him. He took 2 more steps and then cleared him out.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, and Taylor was pushed to the ground multiple times too. He spent a fair amount of time down. So yeah.
I mean, it was very obvious. If you go back and if you dare watch this again, you'll notice that they man marked Dixon almost the entire match. Placed a lot of pressure on him. And then, like Todd said, they left some stuff in on a tackle. I noticed at least 2 times they raked his Achilles, and it was. I don't know how the guy walked off. I mean, he just has steel ankles and a steel heart. Was what I said on, and I have the utmost respect for him because he played through all of that with a little reaction. Although I thought Rod was going to lose it one time. I think he ripped his coat off at one foul on Dixon because it was just obvious what they were doing. And it wasn't one player. So that, I mean, this is smart. This is the cynical nature of soccer. they were not going to let him receive the ball and turn up and start play. They were going to force it out wide and just put play a lot of pressure. So even through all of that, I thought Richard had a pretty good game.
I thought he had a great game. Yeah. He won ball after ball in the midfield, as he's consistently done all year long. He was just a complete stalwart there. He was, for me, CFC's man of the match. That's just me. Maybe I'm giving him
I thought he was absolutely great. Between him and Taylor, at least first half Taylor, second half, I think the stars adjusted because they realized that Taylor was roasting them, and they were lucky that they got away with the first half. But I think you're right. I think Richard would be a good shout. I thought McGrath had a decent game too.
There were several guys that had decent games, but when I looked at the overall battle that Rich put in the middle of the park, that's kind of where that tips the scale for me.
So there are two other.
It was tough to watch.
So the two decisions that I want to talk about, and we'll do it in order. First is the red card. Todd, you mentioned I went back and watched this again. And initially when it happened, I got very frustrated because of what you said at the beginning. We had done a really good job of maintaining our composure throughout this year. We did not have the silliness, the reactive emotion that got us in trouble. And initially when I saw what happened, I thought we got baited into Same. It. Frankie came in with the two-handed shove. He got a yellow. That's fine. I mean, that's a yellow. That's okay. And then I really didn't know what Stripling did. I had heard that he had gotten a red for a stomp.
Oh, I go saw back him, and you watch it.
I saw him trip. And so I didn't know if I missed something. I didn't know if he actually did get frustrated, because he's the player that just absolutely gets cleaned.
It didn't look to me like he had retaliated against anything.
No, I went back and watched he gets cleaned out and he stays down. Frankie comes over and gives Franks a two-handed shove and knocks him down. And Franks acts like he's been shot, and he stays on the ground and I'm like, dude, you fell down on the ground. You're not hurt. So he rolls around a little bit and pretends that he's just in immense pain. They give Frankie a yellow card. That's fine. That's a well-earned yellow. And while that is happening, Stripling gets up and kind of comes over and stands over Franks on the ground. And when he does that, another Stars player bumps him, and it throws him off because he trips over Franks. And then in an attempt to not step on him, takes a big step over and then loses his balance a little bit and stumbles away.
He never stops on it because Franks never reacts from the time.
No reaction.
No reaction. No reaction for Franks. He did not try to play it up that he was stomped on. Nothing happened. Now the other players did. Immediately the other players went after Stripling as if he had stomped on him and got in the ref's face. I do not think the center ref made this call. I think he talked to the AR, and I think the AR saw the trip, but saw the foot come down, and he thought it was intentional. And when you watch it in real time, there's just no way that's intentional. It's a ridiculous red. If anything, Franks gets a yellow. Frankie gets a yellow, and Stripling, I think, gets a straight red. Somebody told me he got a second yellow. I never saw the second yellow. I just saw a straight red card.
And that's initially what I thought too.
Yeah, it's I think they absurd. May have been confused because of the yellow that also happened for CFC, and they just assumed that it was for that. But no, I think it was straight red.
It's absurd. Frank should have been sent off. If Frank's is sent off, none of the rest of this stuff happens. I'm surprised he even gave him a yellow. I thought he was just going to let him get away with it. And from that point on, it was being a man down. And a goal down, we just did not do anything until the 97th minute. Mm-hmm. There is the ball off the line, which I don't think was a shot, but we had a ball cleared off the line. Then later on, we had two players I think both of them got fouled in the box. A ball comes in from the right and Nagelstad goes up for it. And when he goes up for it, the Stars player body checks him. He does not make it. He does not go up for the ball. He literally launches himself into Nagelstad's back and knocks him down. The ball drops. We get a shot blocked. That ball drops to Nagelstad. He takes a shot. That shot is blocked. The ball trickles over to Taylor, and Taylor gets cleaned out in the box as well. And the ref is 5 yards away.
Yeah, called
and doesn't call any. I know.
And I can't explain it. It would have been a get out of jail free card for us. I mean, it was the 97th minute, and maybe he's like, oh, that's not hard enough. I don't want to give them a freebie. But both of those players are fouled. And mm-hmm. So those two things I think are just will continuously frustrate me. I know that and this is why I wanted to talk about it first, because there's plenty of things we could share about the game that we're not the ref's fault. They were in our control and we didn't do well enough. But those things I put out what the Stripling red card made me remember was the single most absurd red card decision that I have ever seen anywhere. And that was Mason Walsh getting the red card against Inter Nashville in 2019, I think, which was like the most insane decision I've ever seen. I mean, like the most ridiculous red card that I have ever seen.
It was equal parts ridiculous but also equal parts almost entertaining.
Oh, it was mm-hmm. hilarious. It's oh, you know, yes. Once uh-huh. we won that like 3-0, I think. I think yes. We won the game 3-0.
Yeah.
So after you win, because like the worst thing I remember, like if you guys remember, the worst thing they could have done was piss off that team. Cause when we came back in the second half, we just wiped the floor with them, even though we only had 10 guys. But that was, that was just the most ridiculous. So this kind of, this reminded me of that. It wasn't that bad, but it was fairly close.
It was, well, this one was, I guess the call itself, on Stripling.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, as a red card, was just, it was terrible. But like you said, I think that decision was made from afar, and I'm sure it probably looked like maybe he stepped on him or whatever. But I mean, don't you kind of have to be sure about that kind of thing in yes. such a big moment?
I think so.
And need to be a little closer. And, you know, after having said that, I mean, how do you make that call after not having red carded Franks for just clipping our guy in the back of the legs? So I don't know. The whole thing just seems way off to me. And it's like you said, generally, I mean, I don't want to harp on these decisions all day. It was crappy refereeing. We know it's crappy. Terrible calls from the beginning to the end. It was too physical. They weren't allowed to play. It's a shame that such a big game was allowed to, like, you know, devolve to just brute force match that way. And then be decided by a man getting sent off. Because like you said, as soon as the goal was scored and as soon as a man was sent off, like that was it. It really was. So it just killed the game completely.
So now that we've got that out of our system.
out of our system.
I don't think it's ever going to get out of our system. But we'll put a moratorium on the comment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can stop there. I just know that like afterwards, Topher and I were talking about it and like, he was like, you know, we all talk about the beautiful game, but that wasn't it.
No.
There was no beauty in that match.
No, it wasn't. Let's go back. I don't think there were any surprises in the starting lineup. It was, I think, what you would consider to be the strongest 11 Rod thinks that's the strongest 11 that we've got. I think, you know, we come out and this reminded me, and I think I said on the last podcast when we were talking about what I expected, you know, I differentiated between the two home games here earlier and the one road game. In the way that the Stars played, that the games in Chattanooga earlier this season, they played much more that they kind of dropped back in the game up in Romeo. They came up and pressed a little bit. And I felt like, actually, even though it was a 0-0 draw, the Stars might have been slightly the better team in Romeo. When I went back and rewatched this, you know, that night, I felt like this feels a lot more like the Romeo game than the two earlier Findlay games. And I think it ended up that way, being where they did not bunker. I mean, I've heard people refer to them as bunkering. They did not bunker until they went a man up. Then they were like, all 11 guys were behind the ball. You know, they played a little bit, and we did not do as well in possession as I thought we would against the Stars. We did have a couple of chances. I think, Todd, you had alluded to, like, one of your keys was Taylor. I believe you kind of pointed that he would be the person that would need to come forward, and he really did. He was a bright spot in the first half. He had a couple of chances. Had one-on-one with the keeper. He also had another time when I think McGruva makes a really good save when he tries to roof it and McGruva taps it over the bar. Taylor had a bright first half, and you know, I don't know, Todd, if you want to talk a little bit about what you saw from him in that first half, or anything else from that first half of the game.
So for me, in the first half of the game, no, I thought Taylor really came out very well, had those chances. But remember, I said he had to be brave, and you guys, what does that mean? Well, I mean, he had to be brave in those few moments that he had, right? And one was a really good save, and the other, I thought he might have done better with. Probably should have finished that, and I know he probably more than anybody feels like he should have finished it. But overall, I thought, you know, he created chances, and he looked really dangerous. I was really impressed with the right side. I thought that they were trying to come up and down that side, and I thought our defenders, our midfielders, just really shut them down with some great defending. And you know, they were getting physical, and I thought we were matching them early on in the game. But, you know, when the two sides walked out, you could see the physical physically, they were just much bigger than we were. And I didn't know how much of a problem that was going to be in the match. You know, but in the first half, I thought we handled the physicality quite well. It was in the second half that I thought we really started to lose that physical battle. Maybe just the sheer size took over. But that's just where I am with it.
I know. Shelly, what did you think about the first half?
Well, I mean, I think that Taylor, I mean, he really shined in the first half. I mean, he had a great shot at the 26th minute. He had another great one at the 41st minute. So, I mean, it's just one of those, even overall, we had 9 shots total on goal. So we did great in terms of trying. I mean, at one point, as we were leading up to the half, I was like, you know, I turned and I was talking to Matt, and I was like, you know, at some point, some of these shots were taking half to land in, because we were attacking. We were giving it our all. Like, at some point, one of these is going to have to connect and get into the goal, because, I mean, we were going for it. It wasn't for lack of trying. Let's just put that out there. It wasn't like we were just sitting back like, meh, maybe it would happen. We were doing what we could to make the shots and get it. But like you said, Todd, they are a physical team. They're bigger than us. I mean, and we've got our sea legs. We know what it is to run up and down the pitch at Findlay. It's a larger field than most teams play on. But, I mean, I wasn't mad at it. I thought we would have been up. But honestly, I thought going into even like the stoppage time, like the extra time, that we were going to at least maybe go up one at the half. I just kind of felt like maybe it would happen, because we were doing everything we could to potentially attack and make it happen. It just didn't. I mean, it just didn't.
I had to steal my time back, but I did not. Well, you're bringing up some emotions that I remember that I had. And I remember after one of Taylor's misses, the ball went right back down to the other end. I think it was the one later on, maybe the 41st minute.
The 41st,
and Kev has to come up. Yeah, Kevin had to come up with a skate save and a butte to keep it level going in, you know, going into the half. So, you know, I felt like it was fairly even. And, yeah, we were having shots. But who's the one guy you want taking shots for us? Let's be honest. Would you rather –
They never let the ball.
Nope, they let That's right.
They
the
never
ball.
Let – so to that is my point is that even in the first half, they limited that, you know, Marcus
his possession of ball.
Access to the ball. So to me, the halftime changes had to happen. There had to be some sort of big halftime change to change that, or to figure out how to get him the ball. Because having him come all the way back up the field and receive the ball up in midfield, I mean, that's never going to work. So that's what I was looking for going into halftime, was some big changes coming out in the second half.
And we didn't see it. And it was one of those where afterwards, you know, looking at it, and, you know, the only person I can immediately chat about it with is, you know, my husband. So Topher and I are talking, and you know, he says, I'm not saying I agree with him, but he says we weren't outplayed, we were outcoached.
Ouch. Interesting.
Yowza.
I know.
That's a hot take if I've ever
that
heard
That is
one.
A hot take, right?
Woo, spicy.
And I had to think about it for a minute, and I see where he's coming from, like the decisions that were made and how they were keeping us from being successful because they were playing their game and forcing us to play their game that we don't play.
Yeah.
And there is some validity to that take. I don't necessarily say I agree, but you know, that's been the debate in our house all week.
Well, we are who we are. Huh? I mean, we are who we are. We're going to play the way we're going to play. The problem is, you know, a lot about this game and any really other sport is dictating tempo to the other team. You want to dictate your play to them, and we just didn't do that. I mean, we didn't do it at all. We did a little bit in the first half, which is why
To your point, something I've complained about against teams that bunker, play tight, or, you know, play strong defensively, the ball has to move fast. And I never thought that we were changing the point of attack fast enough. I thought that we were too stagnant on the front line with our runs, and I don't feel like we were moving their defenders around enough. And when you do that with big dudes, then you're going to get kind of a predictable result.
Yeah, and I think I heard Rods. I think I heard Coach say something about that he felt like we. I don't know if he said patient enough. I think what he was getting at, because he talked about it, we had a little problems in the midfield, and you know, I know this is gonna sound oxymoronic here a little bit. All right, so like, I think we weren't patiently deliberate enough. So I know that seems strange, but like Todd, to your point, we did not cycle the ball back and forth, get the, cause what you have to do to those teams that are organized and not bunkered. Cause I don't think they bunkered, but they were very organized in the back.
Yeah.
And so against those teams, you've got to move them and quickly move them so you can catch them slightly out of position and create lanes and space. And then you have to be deliberate and be intentional in attack. And we just didn't do those two things.
I think what we're saying is they executed their system better than we executed our system.
The one time we were able to kind of unbalance them was that the Taylor shot maybe in the 26th minute or whatever, where we turned them over in the midfield, got the ball to Nagelstad got it quickly over to Taylor, and Taylor went in one-on-one and probably could have done better with the shot, but it was a decent save. Probably the bigger thing with that save was he did not give a rebound. He smothered the ball, and so that was the one time when we really unbalanced their back line, and we just didn't execute. So we go
give
into
credit to their keeper. I mean, we can't stand him. None of us can stand him. He is a quality keeper. He's one of the better keepers in the league. He has been one of the better keepers in the league. And I can't stand him. It's fine.
Yeah.
The things can coexist. Yeah.
He made two pretty good saves. And
you can't deny his talent. I mean, as much as he annoys us.
I thoroughly enjoyed
the butt shuffle thing, but he does. He does have talent.
After they went up 1-0 and he made a save and converted right into a front flip, I was like, all right, the guy's a little bit athletic.
Yeah, and a whole lot of cocky.
Yep. Okay, so we go into halftime 0-0, and then of course we come right out. And what happens when we come out in the second half? It wouldn't be a Chattanooga soccer match without some rain.
Oh, yeah.
So the rain came and sent people to grabbed their rain jackets and sent some people to the to cover. I never felt like we came out in the second half. I just never felt like we. We stayed in the locker room.
I don't think it's that. I think it's exactly what we wanted to do, or what we said in the last, you know, the last podcast. They ended up doing to us. We were there, and then they scored first, and it demoralized us.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about from the 45th minute to the 56th. Those first 11 minutes, we did nothing.
Well, because generally speaking, look at the history of all of our matches we've played this year. If we've gone into the half and it's a nil-nil, we generally come out pretty smoking in the second half, and we'll get, you know, we'll attack and at least get up one, sometimes two, and we didn't.
No.
I mean, it was definitely a polar opposite to what we have seen in past play against other teams, and we're at the same, obviously not in the same level of match of its importance, but we definitely weren't attacking like I assumed that we would, given what it was at the half.
I mean, maybe they were told that all of the wild attacks in the first half weren't successful, and they were trying to adjust, trying to be more patient. I don't know.
When I was thinking about like the patience, I thought about on some of the attacks, like maybe going straight at goal, pulling that one pass back and squaring it up in the middle. I thought that about the patience, not necessarily like slowing things down, like, you know,
like
they weren't patient enough. You know, let's just get right to it. You know, they would come out a little bit flat, like unimpressive in that first 6 or 7 minutes. And, you know, and I know Jim wants to talk about their goal, and that's fine. And I know there was a lead up to that. And I said it happened when we fouled at midfield. When we fouled in midfield, I thought it was an unnecessary foul as they were getting ready to take that free kick into the box. And, you know, anybody who was there that watched the game and understands their physical size and you notice two things. Number one, you notice how much taller on average they were than us. And two, how most of their balls that went into the box were very good. They're a good trajectory, good height, good good speed on them. So it was almost always dangerous. So, you know, given that foul up, and I know it was in a transition, but I just thought it was an unnecessary foul to give up there. I thought we had enough people back, but you know, I wasn't out there.
Yeah. And so, you know, Todd, as you said, I love to talk about these things. So I went back and watched the goal way too many times, and then I wanted to go back because I remember your comment about the unnecessary foul. So I went back to watch. It was McGrath who took out one of the subs. I can't remember his Nelson, I believe was his last name, and got a yellow for it. It was a yellow. It's fine. And then I'm like,
I thought he had done enough, honestly, to get himself in position, good defensive position, to delay the attack. That's why I thought the foul part was unnecessary.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he was fine defensively. But if you go back a little bit further in that phase of play, there's a turnover. And when we turn the ball over, our fullback is way up the pitch. So all we really have back is McGrath in the midfield and then, you know, a covering cornerback a center back. I went college football there for a second, a covering center back. And I think McGrath was worried about the run. And you know, in his defense, he fouled at midfield. Like that's where if you're going to take a yellow and stop an attack, you want to do it in midfield. It's just that, like you said, their ensuing free kick was a really good ball about to the penalty spot that we just didn't. We cleared for a corner, and I don't know. This is where I don't know enough about goalkeeping coaching and what they want from him. I would almost like a for that long ball to come in. That's where you want to see a keeper come out and just command his area and punch that ball out. But there was a lot of congestion there, a lot of big guys there, and we cleared it, but we cleared it for the corner that resulted in the goal. And I went back, and I think Todd, you mentioned this right before we were recording. We defended the corner fairly well. It's just a really nice ball in a play by a a good play by a forward who's a head taller than our defender, who is strong. And even though I think Frankie leaned into him and tried to put him off, he was just too strong and he won the ball. That happened.
Yeah, Frank, if you go back and watch it, Frankie's bodied up on the guy.
Yeah.
The guy just takes a half step back, doesn't have to jump.
Right.
And is able to just get his, because he's 6'4", is able to get his head on it. And it was just, that was the right moment and everything for that goal to happen. And like I said, that sequence of events, like we can talk about the foul at midfield. We can talk about, you know, not clearing the ball that comes in the corner. But all those we know are very, very low chance opportunities. And I think it's much more beneficial to focus on the overall play in the game by CFC. And once again, now that this goal gets scored, we go down 1-0. So there wasn't any big halftime changes. So now I'm expecting some changes because now we're our backs in the corner, right? So now I'm expecting some changes to come out. And I, you know, once again, I just start to watch and wait. But we know Rod is not one to make changes quickly, or definitely not until at least what's the earliest, generally 65th minute.
Regardless, is that when Jimenez comes in? Yeah, you know, like this. Yeah, he came in for Brett Jones.
Yeah, and I'm not. You know, and we can start nitpicking here. I'm not. What minute was the red card in?
The red card was in the 76th.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't. 75th, I think it was
into the 76th.
Yeah, I think the foul though was actually a couple of minutes before that. I think that when the argy bargy started was about the 73rd minute.
Yeah,
it took 3 minutes for all the other BS to happen. Yeah,
at the 70th minute is whenever we got the initial yellow.
Yeah,
the 70th. Yeah, but the 76th is technically whenever the red card was issued.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. So it was.
Let's talk about the Jimenez for Jones swap. How did you feel about that
at the 73rd?
It didn't change anything.
It didn't change much.
I don't think it changed.
I wonder if maybe some bigger shakeups should have happened sooner, frankly. Yes.
But we don't know. I would have liked to have seen the kid come on. I know why he didn't. You know, I probably know why he didn't if he's not injured. You know, he is not the tallest or the biggest guy. And we're playing a team that is already significantly bigger than us. Although Jimenez is not that big either. I just felt like we already knew we weren't playing a physical game.
It wasn't about being bigger at this point. It was about who could be more agile, who could be faster. Yeah,
strategic.
The switch that I would have liked right there would have been Jimenez for Sarah at that point. Yeah. I think I'd have been more comfortable with that. I feel like that was a little more of a like for like switch. I thought Jones, his speed and physicality, I always like his speed out on the field in a physical tilt. Jimenez and Sarah more possession guys. So I would have liked that like for like. I didn't like Jones coming off that much. I would have liked to – go ahead.
Well, do you think Spielman coming in earlier, because they – around the 80th minute, was it? 80th, 81st? Yes. It was Spielman for Ward.
Well, and that's because of the red.
Well, I know. Because of the red. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I wonder – I mean, Spielman's – he's fast, but he's a big dude too. And he can be a little wild card with the physicality. I mean, we've seen him get – yeah, but I wonder if
– in retrospect –
I would have liked to see that a little earlier.
I could have got – totally crazy. Once we went down, like I was ready to get completely wild with it because I wasn't completely satisfied with the chances that we had created or the just because like I saw the lack of touches at Nagelstein, who I think is our go-to guy. His limited touches and limited influence on the game. I mean, yeah. I really would have considered mixing it up to maybe a 4-4-2 and putting like a Spielman up top with him to just battle around because there came a point where we just had to put the ball in the box and see what the hell happens.
Yeah, I
agree. And that's what I was getting at. Like there needed to be a bigger shakeup. At this point, mm-hmm. it's it's the end of the season. Like, it's all or nothing. Like, Katie any other weird
thing. Just throw all the just throw all the cards out on the table.
Anything.
Just
I mean, you throw it all out here and you see what happens. And once you realize, hey, we can't play the game the way we want to, the way we know to, the way we like to, and it is not going to happen. And it was pretty clear that after the first half, the second half, you go out there and you go, you know what? What other wild and crazy things can we do?
Exactly. Why don't we just shake up the whole thing to see? Because it can't hurt.
Even when we went down to 10, I would have been okay with leaving two in the back, right? Leaving two in the back and pushing Spielman up top just because of his sheer size. And I know, and because we've been told anecdotally by other players, that he plays up top in practice sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, getting him to battle around up there, you don't know what's going
to
happen.
We have at that point, we had nothing to lose. I mean, it was worth a shot.
Yes,
we were still trying to play possession of 5 minutes.
We had everything to win for and nothing to lose. So,
so why not try it?
Yeah,
why not try it?
Well, that's just not how we play. That's, you know, we are who we are. I go back
I know, but you know what?
Just
because it's how we've always done it doesn't always be what we need.
I believe Rod believes in his system and he thinks the system is going to prevail.
Okay.
And he is a good coach with a great system, but I do think
what you're saying though, what everybody's yelling at me about is a good statement for, what we want to see next year to maybe allow this team to take a next step. And that is discovering a second way to play.
Yeah. So with that, Jim, you mentioned, Chevy, you mentioned that Topher had, he thought that, that Rod had been outcoached in this game. Okay. Then he's been outcoached. We're sitting here talking about the tactics that we didn't see in the second half. So, Let's just talk about this right now. Is Rod the right guy to move us forward?
I think so. I think we've got the right coach. I think we've got. Yeah. I think we were. Listen, I could argue easily that we were the best team in the league. We were the most consistent team from the beginning to end. In any day on any given day, I think we could have beaten any team. We struggled a little bit with Cal. I think we lost one, drew one, but. So over the span of the year, I think we were the best and most consistent team. What changes though is, and I've said this too much, but you know, the regular season's one thing, you can play one way. When you get into playoffs or what I call cup soccer, you've got to play differently. You've got to know, you've got to learn or maybe have another tool that you can use. And
all the teams have seen all the tricks you've had, and once they figure out,
well, it's just a different.
It's
just a different way of. It's just a different mindset, I think, when you go into single elimination and knockout tournaments, and you know we're designed for a regular season, and we will always accrue way more points than the Stars in a season. We will always finish above them in whatever table, but when it's a knockout tournament, they are a little bit of kryptonite for us. And maybe for Rod's system. And that's the thing I think I want to see. And maybe I shouldn't say it's just the Stars, because I think somebody said, or Todd, you may have said earlier, we have trouble playing against an organized defense, a team that is very organized and will maybe sit back on some. We have not played well against those teams. It wasn't just the Stars. Flower City did that, beat us once, and we only beat them 1-0 once. So we have a trouble with that. We don't have another way to play when possession and positional play doesn't work. And we don't really have a guy that we could, like, we don't have anybody who outside of Spielman who we could put up top and change the way we play.
I asked a question, and I don't want to leave it hanging out there. Like, I do not think Rod's the right way, because I asked the question only because of the things that we were saying. I 100% believe that Rod is the right guy, and I agree with you 100%. In another year where the scheduling was the way it should have been, and, you know, maybe we don't drop, like, just a couple of, you know, senseless games to Pulse or Flower City, you know, we top the table and we're not having this discussion. But no, I think he is the right guy to take us in the next season, and I agree with you 100%. Step two has to be finding a way to get past these teams, specifically, not even these teams, let's just call it what it is, the Stars, right?
Yes.
Because if you're going to run up to against that, because they are the best example of that style of play. They're not complete hacks. They are not. They got guys that can play. They got guys that can finish. But it's a system that we have to be able to get past. And to me, that has to be the goal moving into 23.
Yeah.
I know, which makes me, we think of like end of season overall, it makes me wonder kind of who we're going to see returning back that will help, give us what we need going in, but also some fresh faces too. See how that, shake things up a little bit as well.
Go ahead, Shabby.
I was going to say, I hope the front office is seeing what we see. I mean, I trust that those are intelligent folks and that they realize that, we've got to build the right team. I think when you consider that this year was kind of supposed to be a building year, and I know we're all disappointed and we're coming off a loss and we wanted to be in a championship and there's all those feelings. Let's put that all aside for a second. We went into this season not even sure what we were going to look like.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And look at it. And we ended up 14-3-7. That's not something to shake a fist. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, that's really good. It's stellar. So really for a first building year.
Exactly.
That's one hell of a foundation we've started. If the way I'm looking at it.
Well, and I think to the question of, does the front office see what others see? Rod, Chris, Jordan, Bill, Jeremy have all forgotten more about soccer than we know. So
of course,
I do trust them. I would like to see some tactical flexibility, and maybe that's not in Rod's DNA. We'll see, and I say that we saw a tactical shift in the middle of the year. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we were not playing this way. We lost to Flower City. It was clear that we were not scoring enough. There needed to be an adjustment. There was an adjustment, and that adjustment worked. So I think we're good. We were good enough this year to win a championship. When you get into knockout, knockout tournaments, 100%. Shit happens, and unfortunately, it happened to us on Sunday night.
I'm not saying we weren't good enough. I'm not saying we were good enough. We were not good enough this season. We were. I'm not saying we. What I'm saying is, on one given day, we weren't good enough.
Exactly.
Because on the whole, the season was an amazing season. Mm-hmm. From every quantifiable way, it was a successful season. From points accumulated, goals per game, attendance in the stands, we can dip back into the women's season and mm-hmm. everything it stood for. I mean, overall,
the
when
season
we look
as
back,
a whole from, was since, phenomenal. Since,
from last March till now, oh my gosh, what a roller coaster!
Leaps
what a great
and bounds.
Ride it's been mm-hmm. Compared to
exactly.
where we were this time last year.
I know, and as sad and that, as I
but the
am about
start signing was key.
And he better be back.
We needed a forward.
Somebody to score goals.
We needed somebody to score goals, and we got that. So hey, we've been talking for a little while. Why don't we wrap this up? I do think we have left some questions on the table that I don't know that we can answer right now. Which is, what do we think we need to change for next year? What are we gonna what do we think, the team might look like next year? What will next year be? And so I think let's put a pin in that. Maybe come back in a couple of weeks after we take a deep breath and kind of pause for this sudden, abrupt, unfortunately, end to our season. Take a chance to think a little bit and rest a little bit, talk to some friends and family. We're coming up on not Halloween. We just passed that, but we're coming up on the holiday season. That's what I was coming. Mm-hmm. That's what I was getting to.
And so there's some exciting things coming up in the holiday season for us too.
Yep. So let's put a pin in those things so we can come back in a couple of weeks and talk a little bit more, put this season to bed. I would like to spend some time talking about, some superlatives about, your player of the year and your favorite goal and the favorite game and that kind of stuff, but we don't want to do that now. Let's think about that for a little bit and come back later. Is that good for you guys?
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
So until we do that, where can people find your takes, Shabby?
You'll find me at the Twitters.
Yeah.
At Shabby Bell, S-H-A-B-Y-B-E-L-L-E.
Todd, where can they find your musings?
You can find me trying desperately to earn that check by my name at Great Footballer on Twitter. But I find it's going to be easier just to pay the $8.
$8. Shelly, where can they find you?
Find me without that blue check. Shelly Years 82.
Yep. And I'm not yielding to Todd's buddy, Elon. But you can still find me as long as I'm not blocked or muted at Chattagooter on the Twitter. Hey, until then, enjoy the deep breath that we've got until this all starts again. We'll be back in a couple of weeks to kind of refresh our minds and let's review what we liked and loved about the 2022 season. And just remember that it's always best to do things together. It's better together, right? And see, pointing to our my scarves here.
Yeah.
And so with that, even though we ended the season with a loss, go CFC.
Go Blues.
Chip. Oh, Stradivari, what a cheeky goal.